What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Sitting with me today is an incredible guest. I'm so happy to have him here. He's everywhere I look. I turn on the Oscars. Who's on drums? It's Teddy. I'm watching the DNC. Who's on drums? It's Teddy. Listen to a Stevie Wonder album. Who's on drums? It's Teddy. I'm like, all this Christina Aguilera song's powerful. Who's on drums? It's Teddy. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who's everywhere, Teddy Campbell.
Came in here suited and booted on y'all. Like, what?
Man, he's working right now. You come straight from AMA rehearsal in the suit.
No, not rehearsal. Like, I wouldn't wear no suit to no rehearsal.
Oh, I thought this was just your rehearsal outfit.
Go. Let's go.
You look great.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate you coming from AMA taping.
Yeah.
Straight to the house, man, the hang.
Yeah, this is the fun part of the day.
Well, dude, you've been busy.
I have, man. I'm grateful, man.
Man.
Yeah, for real. It don't have to be like this, especially for me, you know, doing it for a nice little minute, you know, and to still be doing it, you know. That's a blessing, man. I'm not taking that lightly.
Oh man, yeah. Well, you've been at the top for a long time.
You don't have to say it like that, bro.
Okay, you've been at the top for a short while.
Oh man.
Just my entire adult life. No, just kidding.
I'll drink to that.
Man, you know, we're going to get to this later, but yeah, when I first discovered you was in 2006, the Modern Drummer Festival.
Ooh.
VHS. And ooh. I saw you play and I was like, this guy's amazing. And I want to get to that.
Ooh.
We're going to wait a little bit before we go to the past. Right now, I want to stick with a bit of the current.
All right.
First of all, your Instagram game has been fantastic.
Thank you.
I don't know. You got a new angle or something, but like it's popping off.
What's crazy? Okay. So I started this Instagram page years ago because I was getting ready to go on tour with my wife. We were going to do this thing where I was going to like do my Teddy Campbell band thing.
His wife is Tina Campbell of Mary Mary, by the way.
Yeah. And so I was getting ready to do this tour. So I was like, I need an Instagram page. I got, you know, we got one together, Teddy and Tina. It's like, I need my own. So I started this page. We didn't go on the tour and I never posted anything ever again. And this was like, man, this is years.
Yeah.
You know? And so during the pandemic, I saw somebody post a video with, they were using this Yamaha EAD-10. And so this Yamaha EAD-10 is just a trigger that you put on your bass drum, but it has like a stereo microphone in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can record, but you can also trigger. And I mean, it sounds amazing. And so I was watching this. It's like, this can't be real. It's just one piece of brain. And I was like, nah. So I asked Yamaha, because I play Yamaha drums.
Yeah.
Like, can y'all send me one of these?
Yeah.
So they sent it. Man, I plugged that thing up and immediately got inspired. Like, I started recording all kind of stuff. You know, you could drumless tracks or taking drums out, you know, and so that kind of started the whole Instagram thing. And I just got really inspired. It happened organically and I'm grateful for that. But then I moved into a very intentional, I want to teach people, I want to show people what it is that I do, but what you can aspire to do too. I know you're doing this, but here's another way you can, you know, something else you could do too.
Yes.
And so it was really intentional with like, all right, this is what I'm doing. If you want to do this here, you can learn from this. And so that's kind of like the intent behind the Instagram.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So,
well, it's been great. And it's also your personality comes across in it too, which is good, especially in the captions.
It's like me, man. I'm like Uncle Ted.
You're also like one of the greatest drummers alive, and you're also on all the sickest gigs. So I think
thank you, man.
You put everything together and it explodes into one really great Instagram.
Man.
So go follow Teddy if you're not already.
Thank you. Teddy Campbell Band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The one man band. So I would like to talk, let's kick this off. I want to talk to you about Ricky Minor.
Yeah.
And your relationship, your longtime relationship
with
Ricky Minor. One of the greatest musical directors in the game.
In the game.
And and you know, you two together are man amazing partners. So how did you get the gig with Ricky Minor?
Beautiful story, man. I got some really cool stories, man. That's why I know, like, God was like, all right, I'm going to put you right here. I want you to do this. And I'm going to set it up for you, and it's only going to be for you. And I'm like, okay.
Sold.
So I'm like, you know, I'm a church boy from Chicago. I got a friend who is, he's out on the road with Eric Clapton right now. His name is Tim Carman. He plays keyboards with Eric Clapton. And I met him. I moved to LA and I started playing, you know, little things here and there. So I was doing like a Gerald Albright gig and I met Tim on this gig. And so then we became friends. So fast forward, Frankie Beverly and Mays were doing auditions for drummers. And the music director at the time, Wayne Lindsay, who's really good friends with Ricky, they toured together with Whitney. He auditioned me. My boy Tim told Wayne, I got the drummer for you. So it was like a cattle call of drummers. And I'm 21 at the time.
Yeah.
And so Wayne auditioned me. I got the Frankie Beverly gig. So I'm on the road with Maze, you know, Frankie Beverly. I'm going to shout out all the old heads who are going to be watching this because some of y'all don't know who Frankie Beverly is. He just passed away. But Frankie Beverly and Maze is like one of the greatest R&B bands in the world.
Absolutely.
And Beyonce covered his song Before I Let Go. Just so you guys have a little reference of who Frankie Beverly is. Been around for a long time. So I'm way too young to be on this gig. I'm 22 years old and everybody else is 50 something, you know, 60. And so so I got this gig and so Wayne told Ricky about me. Now Ricky was on tour with Whitney. He wanted to quit the Whitney gig and come back to LA and start his Ricky Minor band thing, the TV show stuff. Mm-hmm. I just so happened to be, I wasn't even living in LA just yet. So I just so happened to be moving to LA that year. I had been playing with Frankie Beverly. Wayne told Ricky, Ricky hired me. As soon as I got that call from Ricky, the rest is history. Like he was going from using Ricky Lawson on some things. And I literally came in at a time where Ricky was trying to reinvent himself.
Wow.
And he wanted a new sound. He wanted something fresh. He wanted, you know, and to move to that next level. Because he was quitting. He had quit Whitney. His mom was even like, what are you doing? What am I going to tell people? you know what I mean? Like, you going to tell them that your boy ain't on the gig no more. So when he was moving and transitioning to his next, so was I. And I just happened to be there. And when I got that call, the rest is history. I mean, literally everything that Ricky does. I mean, so much so, man, like he was making me MD of things.
Yeah.
Like when I was on Frankie, I was getting ready to get married and I wanted to come off that gig and do something else. I just met Ricky. And I asked him like, man, I need to get off this gig. He's like, all right, man, I got a gig for you. He made me the music director for 98 Degrees.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I did Backstreet Boys, and then he made me the music director for Britney Spears, and then I did Christina's first tour, but later on when Christina got, you know, real big,
yeah,
Ricky ended up being music director for her, and he made me like, you're going to go out and you're going to be a music director. So I even did that. Like,
because when you were doing 98 Degrees and Britney and stuff, this is like, they're huge.
Yeah.
These are huge acts.
Yeah, man, and I'm like a drummer, like that drummer MD thing.
Yeah.
I think that low key started with me too.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Like, I did not know that.
Yeah. So I was that guy. He was, cause he was staying home. I'm not going on tour no more. Whitney was it.
Wow.
And so he was so gracious, man, that he needed me for his gigs in town, the TV shows and all that stuff that he was doing.
Yeah.
But he was like, man, that's a bigger opportunity for you. So I want you to go do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going out with Backstreet Boys. I'm going out with like I said, Britney, like as music director and all of that. And so he's having to find somebody that can take my place while I'm gone because he was like, you need to be doing that. As wow. much as he needed me to be in town.
Yeah.
but he afforded me that opportunity to go and do that.
What year was that when that started?
So man, like 90, 99.
Wow.
My first music director job with that Ricky gave me was 98 Degrees, and that was in 99. Wow. Because I got married in 2000.
Wow.
And, like, there was some issues even when I was doing the 98 Degrees gig. Like, I was telling them, I said, hey, listen, man, we were doing, like, some big Disney special or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, and a storm came in and pushed everything back. Yeah. And I'm like, y'all, oh, it was 2000, I'm sorry, because I got married in August 2000. I'm like, listen, I got to get home, y'all. Yeah, I got a wedding and a wedding dinner and all that. They were like, you can't miss the wedding dinner. I was like, no, my wife will not marry me. So I was like, we'll give you a private plane and put you on a plane and do all that. And I was like, no, I'm not. We have to find somebody else that can do this gig.
Wow.
Lo and behold, something happened. The storm broke or something, and we were able to do the show, and I got on the plane and got home. But amazing. I was not going to do that gig.
Wow.
But that's Ricky put me on there, and I stayed on that gig for a little bit longer, you know, as music director.
Man, that's incredible.
Crazy.
That is so crazy.
So we're still rocking together today.
Yeah, rocking together today. And then I remember, of course, you guys did The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Rocking that as the house band. That must have been an amazing experience.
You know, man, those are the kind of gigs where you feel like, all right, I made it.
Yeah.
You know, like for real. Like if you want to be a musician in town.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of tours you can go on to aspire. You want to, you know, to aspire to be a touring drummer and all that. Plenty of artists you can go out with.
For sure.
And be like, yeah, I done made it. I'm with Sting, I'm with whatever, you know. But being in-town musician in LA, that was it.
You got the prime time, the main show, Jay Leno. Yeah. Every night you're on TV.
Yeah, it was.
You're with all the celebrities every day. You got Jay. Jay gives love to the band all the time. You're getting screen time all the time.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was like all of the work that we had done, especially like with American Idol, we put a lot of work in. You know, it's like all the work that we had done. With all these other shows, and you know, there's a show, man, that you know we've done for 25 years, maybe. Clive Davis Grammy Party.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, yeah, the most legendary Grammy Party.
We were playing with people like nobody knew who Alicia Keys was.
Wow.
Like we the first time she ever played with a band with us.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Like. That's
you set the bar high for Alicia.
That is tough, man. You know, and so like, so we did a lot of work together as a band, and so to get that show was like, guys, all our hard work paid off, man. We got our own parking spaces, and we get a wardrobe, you know, allotment, and you know, like. You know, we get bonuses. Jay comes around and hands everybody a check at Christmas time. It's like, this was crazy,
yeah,
bro.
What a great job.
Like, what in the world? And then it was over. Like, what? It was like...
now what?
And I want to put it on record. Jay got fired. They gave it to Jimmy Fallon.
That's wild.
Come on, man.
That's wild. Man.
Snatched it from my man. Gave it to the young boy.
This isn't about me, but when that happened, who was it? Lauren Michaels, right? Mm. He was in charge of choosing, right? So they were choosing who's going to replace Jay. And it got down to two people.
They already knew, bro.
And it was Jimmy Fallon and BJ Novak from The Office, right? And it got down to the two of them. And BJ came over to my house and he asked me, I'm 22 or something at the time, came over to my house and asked me, he was like, yo, so they've narrowed it down. It's between me and Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy's got Questlove and the Roots as his band. Would you be my band leader and build out a band for me? And I was like, absolutely. Are you kidding me? And then he was like, okay, I'm going to rent out Rosie O'Donnell studio next week. We're going to do it. We're going to do a take of it to show them. I was like, okay, great. And then the next day they were like, never mind. It's Jimmy.
Yeah, no,
that went nowhere for me.
I was like, but they do it, man. I mean, because you know he kept coming on the show.
Wow,
as a guest. Like, man, I got a picture with my son who's 12 now.
Yeah,
he's holding my son.
Wow,
one of his visits to the show.
Yeah,
and my son was like 9 months or something.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? So like, he was coming. They were like grooming him, bro.
it took Jimmy a while to get good too. As
Yeah, no, it's amazing now. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the guys. You know, it's the gig of a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
For sure.
And I'm just grateful that I got a chance to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and at 39, 38 years old, to feel like you hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, at such a young age and like the most, you know, thriving musical town in the world,
yeah.
Los Angeles. It's like, what next?
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I am. I'm in that season of next. It's pouring out.
Well, you're doing good in the season of next.
Man, thank you. It's I'm gonna tell you, man, it's not easy, bro, yeah. Because you know, I'm Teddy Campbell, but like I'm not that Teddy.
Hmm.
And to have to pivot and really grow up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And make decisions for where I am now.
Yeah.
And forget the old. Like, remember it in a way like, you know, man, this was a blessing.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that I got to do, but I'm not going to do that again.
So how do you go through the thought process of what's next for you?
Man, just keeping it 100, man. Faith in God, bro. Like,
yeah.
Cause it's like, I don't know when I mean, like literally, man, I was doing very well in Chicago, like on the gospel scene.
Yeah.
But like when I moved out here, I mean, I had like a childish dream. Like, I'm just going to go to LA and just play music for a living.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, who did you want to play for? Did you have anybody in mind? No, I just, I wanted to go to LA cause I heard LA was the place to go.
Yeah.
And then I met my wife and she's from LA and that moved everything along faster.
Yeah. You know what
I
mean? Sure.
So, but yeah, man. So I came out here and I did not know, I just knew that I wanted to do this for a living.
Yeah.
And so I remember, man, I was 16 years old and I was 16, 17 years old and I was playing in my church and I didn't really have a relationship with God at the time. I was just like, you know, playing drums in church, like all church boys do, you know? But I prayed a prayer, man. It was like a really honest prayer. It was like, Lord, if you let me make music for a living and like, you know, doing all the stuff that I do, you know, let my gift be able to, you know, make room for me out there and, you know, pop world or whatever, man, I'll never charge a church to play ever again.
Yeah.
I'll just play.
Yeah.
Just for you at church, just because I love you and I'm grateful. Man, next year I was on tour.
That's amazing.
I graduated high school 1993 in June and September. I was on the road.
Wow.
And I have not stopped since.
Have not stopped.
So,
yeah.
Going through the process of next is really faith, bro. Like, yeah. Cause I don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
It's kind of a new thing for you too.
It is because now at this season of my life, it's not momentum. It's not, you know, like, yeah, I'm the man and I'm, you know, I'm doing all this work and you know, I should be doing this. I'm putting in the work and I'm like, no, this is like, the next season. Yeah. Like, you're not the man, not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still good. I'm better than I was.
Yeah.
But like those gigs, I don't have those gigs.
Right.
I got good gigs. I don't have those gigs, you know? And so
do you want me to remind you just were the drummer for the Oscars? That literally just happened. And you just drove to my house from the AMAs. So,
okay. So let me say this.
You want to just remind you?
Yes. Thank you. But let me tell you what I mean. The Tonight Show, American Idol, especially the Tonight Show. American Idol was a nice amount of time.
Yeah,
we had breaks.
Yeah,
but you know that was a nice amount of work at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, the Tonight Show was all year round. We had like a 5-week hiatus.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But like, so to now be, I went on tour with Boss Gags in 2018. That was my first tour in 10 years.
Wow.
I hadn't toured in 10 years. I was in LA doing the LA stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so to have to go back on tour in 2018 felt like I was going backwards.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, I gotta go on tour and that's going to be twice a year. You know, Boz is an older man. He ain't trying to be out, you know.
Right.
So that changed.
Yeah.
You know, and then even moving forward is like, he's not touring as much.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to pick up a little bit more work. You know, like we were doing the rookie minor band. But again, what I mean by that is like the consistency is not like it was. And not like it was for a long time. It was really consistent and plentiful. And so now I say that to say that has changed.
Yep, I understand.
And it leaves me a lot of room, a lot of space to have to do something new.
Yes.
You know, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
You know.
And at a time where music industry is rapidly changing.
Really changing.
You know, it's all, I mean, it's been on the change a lot for the last 20 years, but with technology and everything, but now it's.
And I think it's better in a lot of ways. It's not in some, but I think it's better in a lot of ways because it forces us musicians to be creative and have to like you know, really put stuff out, really be intentional about what we want to say and what we want to put out and not hide behind an artist or waiting for the phone to ring.
Right.
You know, it puts a lot of pressure on, you know, creativity.
Creating
content,
creating output, putting yourself out there, being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You got to be the entrepreneur.
That's why that Instagram thing changed for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just doing the work.
Yeah.
I wasn't posting the work, you know, but now you got to post the work.
Yeah, you got to post the work.
If you don't post it, you ain't do it.
And you know what? Even just me, just as a drummer and as a fan, right? I'm so grateful because A, it's fun. I love watching you play. So there's more content of you playing now compared to it being like more sparse.
Yeah.
You were never one of those drummers where there was a ton of content. Yeah. There was some content and some big content of you, but like now there's, now I can see more regular stuff of you. You sound incredible.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
And you're doing all this epic shit. So I, you know, the outside world would never have the same thoughts that you have when you're critical on yourself. Of course.
Yeah.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. And so, I also just want people to understand this is the ebb and flow of the game, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, for y'all that don't know who I am, there's a lot of younger people that don't know who I am. And they didn't watch American Idol. Or Jay Leno, who is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was once upon a time where, like, every day almost, you know, I was doing something, you know what I mean? And so you go through those times like, okay, you were on the mountain, like literally standing, owning the mountain, you know? And now all of a sudden you're like, can I get back up there? But then you, somebody like you come and puts it in perspective for me.
For sure.
To say, hey, man, no, you're still blah, blah, blah. And which is great. But there is a new season. There is a new time. And you have to evolve.
Yeah.
You have to change.
Yeah.
And that's just where I am. And the evolution is beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I'm growing. I'm maturing. I'm learning. All that, man. But it is a process.
Man, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you got the right mentality. Because you're not just sitting there being comfortable, right? You're really out there being like, wait, okay, I want to be at this next high peak, right? Because I think to any drummer that would look at you, they'd be like, you're there. You're at that high peak. You're not like down a step or whatever, right? Yeah. Like that's you being self-critical, which I understand because I am the same on
me, of course.
Right? Because you always want to do more every year. And it's really, the bigger you get, the harder it is to raise the bar on yourself.
It's true.
You know, like, so when you're doing Tonight Show 5 nights a week and that TV time's there and the bread's there and you're staying in LA and it's consistent and all this stuff. And then like, okay, you can't tour 11 months out of the year and you got a family. Yeah. So you don't even want to, even if you could. Right. Yeah. So how do you balance all that? And with the modern day world, like so many of these drummers these days, I mean, it is based off social media, like social media equals like relevancy.
Wow.
Cause you could be a legend and not post. And then you're forgotten way besides the people who are the real diehards that like, you know their shit, know their music history, know the gospel world inside out and where it came from, not just where it is today. Right. And all that kind of stuff. So
those people aren't, you know, and those people that know that world, they're older and, you know, you get love and respect from your peers and that's cool. But you know, what about the younger generation, which I really want to help?
Yeah.
I do. I realize how important mentorship was for me.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't have it, it's like not having a parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely. Well put.
It's the same way, you know, it's like not having a father at home. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, whatever that is for you. It's like you grow up and, you know, you have great success and, you know, you live a blessed life, but there's a hole in it. There's something missing.
Yeah.
Because you skipped over something.
Yeah.
You know, so you're longing for that thing that you didn't get.
Absolutely.
And I realize, I know that, you know, from, you know, the music perspective, personal, you know, family perspective. So I understand what it's like for the younger guys to just be out here looking for the OGs to help.
Yes.
And we're not helping them. Yeah. First of all, we're jealous of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they faster, they smarter, they're, you know what I mean? Like, so we kind of low-key hating on them.
Yeah.
We're watching them videos and like, psh. So we don't want to really help because we actually intimidated.
Right. You know,
we're not really being honest about it.
Right.
But I realized I had some really powerful young musicians, like really just help me, just encourage me. And Ronald Bruner told me one time, he said, man, I can close my eyes and go anywhere and I know it's you playing. He said, man, you have what a lot of us young dudes don't have. You got a sound. Yeah. Man, when he said that to me, I'm already looking at him like he's my little brother.
Yeah.
But he's a drum god.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so for him to say that, I was like, okay. Okay. And so I realized that's very important, but the younger generation needs to know that too. They need to find their sound.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear all of the young boys sound like Devin.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have something that
he's doing it. Someone else do
something
else.
You got to do something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to be the picture of, you know, what something else looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll be the guy where you can come and talk to or whatever and get some tips from or whatever I can give you to help you get to that different.
Yeah.
You know, man.
And you did that the first time I heard you play, which you were already now, I know, 7 years into your touring career when I saw the Modern Drummer Festival.
Oh, man.
But your snare sound, man. Like, I remember that was the first thing that stood out. I was just like, oh, and just how tight you are. You're so tight.
Oh, thank you.
Man.
What's crazy is I haven't tuned my Paul Lime that high since. Because when I watch it back, I'm like, ooh.
I love it.
That's amazing. I should tighten it up a little bit more. That thing was popping. It's a 5.5x14 chrome over brass Paul Lime signature snare from Yamaha. They don't even make them anymore.
Wow.
And you can't find it. I think that snare drum is the greatest snare drum in the world. It is like the most versatile. All the records that I've done, all of them, I just manipulate the sound.
Wow.
I tune it up, tune it down. I don't really change. I got 10 snare drums I bring in the studio.
Yeah.
And I don't, all I do is tweak that one. The producer, that's
there it.
There
it is. There it is. Yeah, snare's that's incredible,
snare.
Dude.
That's the snare.
Wow, that's it.
They say it ain't the oven, it's the cook.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I take that.
It's a nice oven, though, too.
Amazing oven.
Yeah. So with where you're at now, so you just did the Oscars, which is like kind of like a form, right, of doing the Tonight Show, except it's, you know, not 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
But like when you do it, it's like, you know, it's these cues. It's in and out. It's like constant. And it's high pressure.
Yeah, it's
the TV pressure. Like that's something.
Live.
Yeah, live. Live with a super celebrity audience and then millions of people watching.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people can't relate to because it's TV feels so different than a concert.
Yeah.
You know, that 3, 2, you know.
And you're live to the world.
Yeah. And you're live. So yeah. How does it feel? And you're on the Oscars, you're going through so many different genres.
Mm.
You and Ricky Minor and like all of these cues.
Yeah.
It's all over. You're going from swing to like.
Ricky's conducting.
To like 80s rock.
Yeah. Carlitos del Puerto is playing bass.
Oh, nice.
He's played with Chick Corea.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Ricky's
conducting. Amazing. He moved up.
Yeah. So, yeah, how does it feel playing the Oscars?
Amazing. It took all of what we do in these different stages of what we do, and we just dumped it all in that one show.
Yeah.
So, American Idol really got me ready, man. I got ice in my veins because of that show.
Wow.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
Like you know, when you're trained a certain kind of way, that's the way you're trained.
Wow.
That's all you know. So, like, having to play American Idol those few nights a week where it was all live, and as far as, like, tempos, the time of the song, like, sometimes we didn't play with tracks, and I had to count it off. And I can't be over because the song is slower under because it's faster. So my tempos have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got to go through all of these genres, you know, on the spot, you know, country. Then we go rock, then we go pop, then blah, blah, you know, like keep going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
But it's live on TV. It's live to America, you know. And so like that show really gave us ice in our veins. We're like, ready, let's go. Count it off. What? 3, 2, 1, bam, you know.
Perfect.
And so the Oscars was... that got us ready for the Oscars. Now, what was different about the Oscars for me is the first Oscars we did, I did not know the flow. So I'm thinking, all right, like a normal Ricky Minor gig, we get some cues. They'll send us something in a Dropbox, but not all of it. You know, we'll get to the gig or whatever, and we'll have time to rehearse it. Man, I show up to the studio, and I show up to a day of pre-records. So we're pre-recording stuff. We're not playing everything because there's so many cues.
Yeah.
So they're pre-recording a lot of the stuff that, you know, they're going to use. They're just going to press the button and play it back.
Right.
But that day is for those pre-records.
Wow.
Ain't no rehearsing. So let's show up, read the chart. And it's like very specific parts, drum parts, you know, going from, you know, playing in 9 to 4 to, you know, calypso to jazz, you know, with playing with brushes to, you know, hip hop. And it's like, read the chart, go. And I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I want to sit and look at the chart and kind of see, like, there's some snare parts, like, and that stuff is coming fast, man. I'm like, I read, but, like, man, I don't read that good. You know what I mean? So, man, I'm like, oh, my God. I get in there and, like, see all this stuff. It's like, what the heck is this? So it was tough.
No rehearsal.
No, there's no rehearsal.
No rehearsal. No. Oscars.
It is a record day.
Wow.
And
show up, record.
Yes. So we record everything, even the stuff that we're going to play. So you could say that that's our rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's all recorded.
Your rehearsal's tracking it, and then you do a live show.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they pick what, you know, yeah, we're going to play these, yeah. but not these.
That's insane.
And like a bunch of cues.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of them.
And you're going from swinging to straight to behind the beat to like
all of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
Like the encyclopedia of music.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I'm coining myself the human iPod.
Yeah, I love it.
Because it's in there. It's like that.
So it's funny to hear you say that you aren't that good at reading when Brian Fraser Moore was just on the pod and giving you tons of love.
Man, thank you, Brian.
And especially, in particular, also with your sight reading and your abilities and like what it takes to do the level of gigs that you do and the level you executed on.
Honestly speaking, man, a lot of my peers thought that what I did was easy until they had to do it.
Yeah.
And it looks easy because I'm trained for that. I make it look easy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not easy for me.
Yeah.
I've grown to that.
Yeah.
You know, and so coming in there, man, I had one of my favorite drummers in the world come sub for me. He can read anything. Gary Novak.
Yeah.
He came in and he played, you know, he played a rehearsal for me at American Idol. I'm like, Gary Novak is playing a rehearsal.
Gary's incredible.
This is crazy, man. Yeah, like this, why is he playing a rehearsal for me? And man, when I got there, he said, hey man, I just want to say, man, I'm proud of you. He said, man, can't nobody do this but you.
That's awesome.
This is Gary freaking Novak.
That's incredible.
Like, y'all need to go look who this, these, like the, he like a young Dave Weckl, you know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Speed, precision, touch, crazy.
He was like, man, can't nobody do this.
Oh yeah.
I remember taking my wife to see him play. And we don't do that. We don't go to gigs and all that kind of stuff. She's not, you know, she thinks I'm just the epitome of drums, right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there. And this woman is a artist, a singer, songwriter, just a talented. She knows what she hears it. She knows. She sits there. She looks at me. She said, he's got to be one of the best drummers in the world, right? Or is he the best? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Like, yes. That's why we're here.
Yeah,
that's why we've never gone to any other gig to hear anybody play but this dude. You know what I mean? Because he's one of those guys.
He absolutely
but he,
is.
But he said that. And so, like, you know, a lot of those guys got a chance to sit in that seat. Aaron, Rex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Lil Jon, Brian. You know, a lot of folks. And they get to see, you know, what it is. They get to see that speed. Man. I think Brian had an experience when we were doing the recordings for American Idol. We were doing, back in the day, we used to do these iTunes recordings. So you get all the contestants, like top 12.
Yeah.
And we go on Capitol Records and we record all of their songs. Now, we only had one day to do this. We had one day to record rhythm. We had one day, the same day, Ricky would record the rhythm. Then he would record the horns. Then he would record the strings. Then sometimes he have to overdub the percussion.
Wow.
Then he would record the background singers, and then we have to send all of that stuff to contestants so they can record the next day. So I said, to help him out, because I feel like my job is to be Ricky's personal music director.
Yeah.
I'm a servant to him.
I love
him.
That.
That's my job, to make him look good.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, you got the right bass? Okay, you know, look at bar 5. You know, I'm this all behind the scenes.
I love
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I gotta help this man out. So I got to do everything in one take. I didn't, it wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to kill him. I'm about to go to want to take Teddy.
Yeah.
No, that was what I had to do to help him.
Yeah.
So I started doing everything in one take. Wow. Everything. I program, I'm like, I hear it, I read the check, bam, 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 it, move on to the next.
Wow.
So when them dudes came in to do that, no.
No.
LeBron
way.
Was like, we moving on? We got to, but that was, I'm trained for that.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's not like a, you know, I'm trained for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the mentality and the intention behind it.
Yeah,
is really great. Of you're not doing it because you're a badass. You want to show off. You're doing it to help someone.
It's my job.
Yeah.
To help him.
Yeah.
Make him look good. Take that pressure off him. It's
hence
a lot of
why
pressure.
Hence why he's kept you right by his side for many, many, many years.
Yeah, man.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And now on top of that, so watch the DNC. Hear you guys killing it, and then I hear you singing.
Get up off of that thing. Let the goose feel better. No, living in America. So we used to sing that on the Tonight Show.
That's great.
Funny story. Like, I'm singing. So I'm in a group called the Soul Seekers.
Yep.
It's a gospel quartet group. Bunch of great musicians.
Crazy
and
ensemble.
crazy, right?
Crazy ensemble.
So I'm singing in this band.
Yeah.
I don't play drums in this band.
Lead singer.
Yeah, I'm the lead singer. I'm lead singer of this group.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, we're at the Tonight Show. I used to get off of the drums to go down to the mic and sing like songs to get the crowd hype.
I love it.
Ricky wanted my energy, right?
Yeah.
And so he told me one day, he said, man, and then sometimes during the show, like Wayne Lindsay would get on the drums and kind of.
I love Wayne.
Yeah, he'd figure his way through. Sorry, Z, but you know. You had some pocket. No, you got some pocket. You got some pocket.
Yeah.
All right, so he get on the drum. He get on the drums, and then, you know, I'll get on the mic, and then I'll slide my way back and get off. And then, so Ricky came to me one day and was like, man, I'm having a hard time getting you back to the drums, and I need you singing, but I need you on the drums. I don't know what to do. Classic Ricky Minor. He never, ever tells me what to do. He always lets me figure it out.
Gives you the situation.
He never tells me.
It's incredible.
Go do this.
Yeah.
Or do this.
Yeah.
Never. And so
I said, okay.
Now this night, I have to sing Mother Popcorn, James Brown song. And so I'm gonna get off the drums and do it, you know? So Dave DeLone, the other keyboard player, is one of my favorite keyboard players in the world. He sends me a YouTube clip of Buddy Miles and Buddy Guy. So Buddy Miles is playing and singing. He used to be the drummer for the band Gypsy for, you know, Jimi Hendrix,
yeah.
You know. So, and Buddy Guy, of course, Legendary Blues. They're doing something together. And Dave sends me a video. And in the text, he just wrote, you can do this. And so I watched this video like all night. I'm like, oh my God. I think I can do this. Right?
Yeah.
So next day, Ricky's like, what you going to do, man? I said, I'm going to sing it from the drums. He's like, okay. Man, so in our little rehearsal room we got, right? So I'm in the rehearsal room. Hello. And I start singing, something like it goes. And I'm playing it, but I'm messing it up because the lyrics is like on the other side of the beat. And I'm like, Something like it. So everybody like.
Something like it.
So Ricky comes up to me, says, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to work it out. I'll be cool. So I stayed in that rehearsal room, worked it out, sang it from the drums. Man, Dorian, who's one of the greatest singers alive. He's singing with Michael Jackson and he's out with James Taylor. He's a great guy. He's our lead singer. So when I killed this from the drums, because they actually killed it, it was great.
Yeah.
He was like, man, you want some more songs to sing? I was like, yeah. So I had like 20 songs, man. I was singing every day.
Let's go.
And that's how it happened.
That's
and
awesome.
And so Living in America was one of those songs. I sang like all the James Brown songs. It was cool.
That's so great.
Yeah, that's how that happened.
And now you got artists like Anderson .Paak singing from the kit.
Yeah, man.
And it's got to be more of a thing. I want to see this more often.
Yeah, man.
I love the singing from the kid.
Yeah, Jameson
Karen
Ross.
Carpenter was doing it, I guess.
Yeah. Jameson Ross is one of the greatest. He's like an amazing, you know, one of Snarky Puppy drummers, but he's like one of the greatest singers alive.
Can we talk about you music directing Britney Spears?
Yeah.
Because that's something I don't think people think about.
Sometimes my kids like, Dad, you was like, you was our music director? I'm like, yeah.
At like her peak, she was huge then.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was going on then? What was it like music directing Britney Spears? What was it like directing her and working with her?
It was cool. So Britney, she respected me. Because at that time, she was like she was showing up at, like different churches. Like she was going looking for God, you know what I mean? So like she knew that I was like, a believer and so she got great respect for me, from that perspective. Musically, everything was tight, man. We just had everything rolling, man. I mean, I had, dope guys playing and it was just, we rehearsed, we arranged, that's the one thing about a good music director. You don't have to do everything. You got to know how to delegate. You got to know how to get everybody's opinions and make the best out of, the gumbo that you're given.
Absolutely.
But that's a big part of it. And that's what I did. I mean, I had to because I don't play keys. I sing, so I can sing parts. I can sing lines. I can, I give the guitar player parts. I can sing the parts, So it was easy for me in that respect. But like not being able to play, I need somebody that can speak my language.
Yep.
I can say something to and they're like, oh yeah, okay. And we work well together. So I had that. It was great. But Brittany had like a level of respect for me. He's like, all right, Teddy, you want to pray? Like every day. He's like, he's going to pray, So the respect was there, and she just had a lot of trust in me. One thing that happened, which was, I don't know if it was the greatest decision, but I think it was a good decision more personally for her. But we were doing a Showtime special, and it was a part in the show where she's like sitting in the swing in the air, and she's just sitting there. And I'm like, you can actually sing that. You're just sitting there. Just sing it for real. You can sing. I mean, you're not like Jennifer Hudson. But you can sing, Like, and she wanted to sing. She wanted, but she was so scared. Like, I'm not a singer. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, no, you can do this. So she did it and she didn't do that well. And we fixed it. I mean, it was the live part, and then when it airs, we aired it again, overdubbed or whatever. But I think it was good for her.
Yeah.
It's because she needed to do that.
Yep.
So that was the only thing I would say as a music director. I kind of was like, it was good for her, but it didn't sound good live. Maybe I made a bad choice. But I think in hindsight I would have done it again. Because it helped her, in that moment.
Yeah.
It helped her believe, And so I'm cool with that.
It's different when you're music directing an act that's not known for being a singer.
Yeah.
It's a whole different kind of show.
Yeah. I mean, she would sit at the piano.
It's dance. It's entertainment. Yeah. Yeah.
There's one part she sat at the piano and she could play a little bit, two, three chords, So she sat at the piano and she sang.
Yeah.
And that was like the one moment of the show where she actually sang. So I'm like, you could sing up there in that swing. You're just hanging there, man. Sing, come on. Just, I want to sing more. Well, let's sing, But yeah.
Not really.
Again, man,
That must have been cool, though, to play like, those are smash songs.
Bro,
like,
we had
and at
fun.
The peak.
Oh, we have. Man, I had so much fun on that.
And you're still in your early years of touring at that point.
That's 2004.
Yeah. Wow, dude.
Yeah, man. I'm like, what am I, 28?
That's awesome.
It was beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
With the biggest pop star on the planet.
Man.
Yeah.
That tour was huge, man. Yeah.
What tour was that?
Onyx Hotel.
Onyx Hotel. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was when Toxic came out.
Wow.
We used to kill that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember, man, one of those performances, we did Carson Day. Was it Carson Day?
TRL?
Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest, yeah.
Outside at the Grove, not the Grove, Hollywood and Highland.
Oh,
over
yeah.
Over there with a Kodak. Well, it used to be Kodak.
Yeah.
Man, that was, that energy, man, and like we was just free to play.
Wow.
Because I wasn't like I was, you know, I'm from Ricky Minor School.
Yeah.
Come on, man, let's play live.
Yeah, for sure.
Cover all these parks. Let's go.
Wow.
So it was fun. You could hear it. You could hear like it was just raw. Like you heard all of my plan. You heard the little cymbals and splash. You could hear us playing live.
I want to watch that video.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
it was fun.
We're gonna go deep in there. No funny Britney Spears story to share from you and her?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, this is okay. So we were supposed to be on tour for a like nice amount of time.
Yeah.
And Britney ended up meeting what's the dude's name? Kevin Federline, that was the guy.
Oh, Kevin Federline, I forgot. K-Fed, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So she ended up meeting this dude, marries the guy, and all of a sudden, she's injured and can't finish the tour.
Yeah.
It was just a little sketchy, I'm just going to say, man. I don't know if we really believe that, but, you know, the tour got canceled, and she just kind of went like...
Yeah.
After that.
Wow. Yeah, everything changed after that.
Everything changed after
that. And she was at the top.
Everything changed.
Yeah, top of the mountain.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, I was sad for her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And man, that's what happened when you fall in love, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you put it all on the line for love.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's why you got to fall in love with someone that's totally average, lets you do your thing.
You really want to.
Yeah.
No, for real. Like, you know, man, don't you? Don't go out here in these streets looking for no superstar.
Oh, no.
Nah, bro. I'm just going to be 100 with you. That's that's a headache.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mean, now you guys are competing, you know, and you kind of don't want to call it that, and it's not really what you think it is, because you're in love, you're married. It'd be some low-key, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
Oh, man. So, okay. And then as of course the journey continues, right? Because you're on tour and you're like, okay, great. Oh, I just did 98 degrees. I'm doing Britney Spears. We're supposed to be out for a while. That shit just stops. And then you are sitting there as the drummer and you're like, got to find the next gig. Here we go to
American
the next
Idol
one.
Came yeah, after
American
that.
Idol. That's amazing.
Yeah. American Idol came after
wow.
that.
Wow.
I remember watching American Idol when I was on tour with Britney.
Wow.
Like, and it was Fantasia. I was watching.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, this girl is amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't care about the show. Like,
yeah.
This girl.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, I think the next year, Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
We were on, that was when we started.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
else came out of those years? Who were like the,
man,
the
you,
name? Because there was
we
only
used
one,
to play
like,
this game. Like, can you remember the,
yeah.
give me the top,
who
top
won?
Nine, top
who
six, won? Top seven, top five, top three of this year. And I'm like, man, I don't know.
You can't even remember all the winners. Because there's only been a handful of people that have actually turned into
right.
real proper stars, artists.
And some of them who weren't winners
yeah.
went on.
Yeah.
You know, like Jennifer.
Yeah, true. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
that's
so crazy. Our year, the first year was Carrie Underwood. I don't know who was next.
Yeah. yeah. If you can't remember.
I do not know who was next after that. Man, that's crazy, bro. Like, who else won? Did Adam, what's the dude name that went on to do Queen?
Adam Lambert.
Did he win?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if he won. He might have. He's
Or did Chris win that year? There was a low-key, you know, dude like that was playing acoustic guitar, sitting there like, you know.
You know who would know is my mom.
I forget his name is Chris something, but I don't know if that was the year. I don't know if Chris won and Adam was the runner up.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. But
the
anyway,
point is, it's hard to remember. Not everyone becomes a star. That shows you how hard it is to become a star.
It's true,
you can win American Idol and not even.
But
have
I
band
will
remember.
Tell you, my favorite artist to play for, favorite contestant to play for on American Idol was Bo Bice.
Bo Bice,
you remember who that was?
No,
I never heard of him. Huh?
Oh, Christian does. I don't.
Bo was my man, bro. We was rocking out, man.
What's he doing now?
I don't know, man. Like singing in bars and stuff. He's still singing.
That's reality. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, he was.
He's damn good. He's amazing.
And there was another guy I had fun with, Caleb something. You know who that is? Yeah, young guy, rocker.
got to be more than just talented.
These guys was really killing, man.
Yeah,
like,
people were killing.
Yeah, yeah. I had fun with some of those contestants.
Okay, so 2006 Modern Drummer Festival.
Man. History.
So we got you, Aaron Spears. We got Marvin McQuitty. We got Gerald Hayward. The four of you playing together changed my life when I watched that. So I was 20 or something, and like,
a lot of people, man.
Yeah. And I was like, what? This is amazing. That was my first time hearing of all of you guys. Right.
Wow.
Like, I didn't know I was coming. I was in like the, I grew up in like, I mean, I come from like my mom's side of the family's jazz and my dad's rock and roll. But like my early touring when I was a teenager on tour, I was playing punk rock.
Yeah.
You know, so like I was in punk.
And you can play them drums too, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't really start getting into that kind of music until honestly that video.
Wow.
I swear to God, hearing you and Aaron play like that made me be like, I want to play like that. I didn't grow up in church, you know? So, and you know, I mean, I would see the Gospel Chops videos and stuff like that, but then you guys just did Chops, but musically, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
And, so my question for you is when you guys did that, did you know how impactful it was going to be?
No. And the reason why we didn't know is because we were just grateful that Modern Drummer showed some love to gospel music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we felt like honored.
Yeah.
And like, not just honored, but like responsible.
Yeah.
We gotta, like we didn't think, we were just like, man, we gotta represent well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is our chance, man. Like, this may not happen again.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was beautiful, man, how it just all came together. I mean, Marvin was living in Houston at the time, and he was over a music ministry at a church, great church. I'm still friends with the pastors now, today, Brett and Scott Jones in Houston, Humble, Texas, actually. And church is called Grace.
Hmm.
And so we went there. Shout out to Logan Wilkinson, man. He's like Marvin's protege, you know, and he was there helping us out, man, helping us through this. And man, we just went to Marvin's church, man. We just worked this out. We just worked out all the stuff that we were going to do and, you know, talk about it. And
the four of you?
Yeah, just plan it out. And then Nissan, too, because Nissan was, you know, at that time, Nissan was like, you know, he was, of course, killing on drums, but man, he was producing records with Missy and Timberland, you know, like
he was on a whole other level doing the production.
So like,
that was him doing the beat.
So he programmed a beat on the spot, you know, just did that. And then we just, man, it was so cold, bro. It was crazy. So we worked all that out at Marvin's church. Then we got there and did the thing. And what was beautiful about it is when we got off stage, man, Gerald Hayward was just weeping. He was just like crying, man, like in deep gratitude.
Yeah.
Because for all of us that was on that stage, a Marvin too, but Gerald is the reason why we play what we play.
Wow.
If it wasn't for Gerald, man, none of us would be playing what we play on pop gigs.
Wow.
R&B gigs. Never. It wouldn't have happened. He started it.
Wow.
And so, but he started it, but he came from gospel.
Yeah.
You know, the Hezekiah Walker, you know, if you're a gospel artist, old school gospel lover, you know Hezekiah Walker. You know all of those songs. You know, you probably sing them in your church. You know, the choir sings them. You know, but this was Gerald playing those songs. So he has some iconic, legendary feels and swag to his plan and all of that, man. So when he got with Mary and started doing all that stuff, man, he brought all that stuff to R&B, and it was crazy. It just messed all of us up. So we were like, we got to do that.
Yes.
What you saw
is
what we said when we saw Gerald.
Wow.
We got to do that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so he was grateful, man. It was like, man, I did all of this work, man, and worked so hard to get to where I am. And man, to have these guys, you know, like, you know, honor the music, the genre, you know, he was just overwhelmed. And it was crazy, man, because I had put Aaron on American Idol, the tour.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Aaron got off the stage and went and did a show.
Wow.
For the American Idol tour. And so
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was just, it was electrifying, man, in the room. Like, just being in the room, it was kind of like, what is going on? You could tell the people were like, what just happened?
It stole the whole show. Yeah. You know, like, it definitely was the attention-grabbing thing. And, like, honestly, its impact has rippled and compounded for, you know, 20 years now almost, right?
Wow.
And, like, still today when you go watch these big, you mentioned Devin earlier and everything, right? Everyone that's playing these stadium tours right now, whether it's hip hop or even pop, you know, because now it's not even just in like hip hop, it's in live pop music live as pop well.
Music. Yeah. If you ain't a church drummer, you ain't killing.
Exactly.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get the gig.
You're not going to get the gig.
It's like that's not what we're looking
unless
for.
Unless it's Foo Fighters, you're not going to get
it. It's got to be some rock and roll, man. All you do is 2 and 4. That's just pocket. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Next. Actually, pocket has changed the definition. We changed the definition of pocket.
yeah, for sure.
Church drummers, like, that's pocket.
Oh yeah. Better be syncopated.
Like Cass told me, he said, man, you're the one, man, you know, that got me dancing on my hi-hats. That's what he said.
That's awesome.
So it's like, you know, it's like,
that's not what he said. He said, you're the one, man, you're that the got one, me man. Dancing on my hi-hats.
That's exactly what he said. Cass, did you hear that? That was really good, bro.
I love Cass.
But yeah, all that, man. If it ain't syncopated, man, what you doing? You just... that's my pocket.
That dude, I saw that and it made me, you know, go straight to my drum room and be like, I want to play. I had never heard of that. I wasn't listening to gospel music growing up.
Wow.
You know, I just didn't hear it.
Yeah,
I had the speed because I grew up playing like punk rock and jazz.
So you can play.
So I could play the speed. So then I was like, oh wait, now I just gotta like think of triplets in a new way. And I gotta like, and not hitting on the one, right? Like going over the one. I never thought of playing over the bar line, over the one. I hadn't heard these terms. I hadn't thought of that. Right. So then I was like, started practicing that. And then I was incorporating that into my playing. And I mean, I've never done a gospel gig. That's not my thing, but I would incorporate that into, I then went on to play pop music, but I would even bring it into like the metal I was playing or the whatever I was playing. I did several hip hop gigs, but like,
it's just the feel of it, man. It just,
and shedding.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then I started shedding like crazy, man. I had this drum room that I had for 15 years at Hollywood and Vine in Hollywood that everyone came through, man, from like RBJ to Devin. And
so you were, you started your thing at like, there was like this mansion you were doing gigs at, right?
Yes. But so yes,
before
that's stuff. Where Jam Card started. And Jam Jam, I was staying at, we had this investor who let me stay at his house.
Wow.
And when I launched Jam Card in 2017, that's where the Jam Jam started, with like Stanley Randolph on drums. Yeah. And that was the first one with Stanley. Yeah. And then we had Gordon Campbell, we had Devin, et cetera. We had a bunch of great drummers come through. And but before that, before Jam Card, bro, I was throwing sheds at my place in Hollywood with all whoever was coming through LA.
I didn't know about this
all the time. You and I, for whatever reason, didn't meet,
bro. That's crazy. Yeah, that we you never were met. Out here
Aaron
doing
came. Aaron came
all
through
this
so many
stuff,
times,
bro. And I didn't even. We didn't.
Yeah.
Cross paths,
bro. When I launched the first version of Jam Card in 2014, which not even a lot of people know about. Everyone thinks it came out in 2017, which it did in terms of what everyone knows. Yeah. But my first beta came out 2014, and one of the first people on it was Aaron.
Wow.
Aaron Spears signed up. I'll never forget. I got the screenshot of his card because it meant so much to me.
Wow.
That he signed up and then messaged me on there in classic Aaron fashion of like, this is incredible, bro. You know, I love what you made. Like, you know, and just being super supportive.
Yeah, of course.
Friend that he is, right? Like, so even way before Jam Card, I was doing sheds, but the sheds came for me, like opened up my eyes was that. And then I got into, you know, watching those Gospel Chops videos and all that stuff. And then I met Eric, I met Tony, I met, you know, and then Ronald and Thomas and everyone, man, like, and like so many people came, Thomas never came through, but everybody else came through. And we did that all the way up until COVID.
Like, and then
the sheds, even so Jam Car was out, there were sheds at my place all the time. It would be like, I remember one of the last ones right before COVID. It was like Devin, Six Taylor, Nick Smith, CJ Thompson, little young JD Beck, and Matt Garska.
Mm.
And Luke Holland, right? So we're like, that was like a normal thing.
Matt lives here?
Garska? Yeah, Matt lives here.
Mm.
Matt lives here. But it was even then, Devin didn't live here. He was in Atlanta.
Right.
You know, but it was just whoever was in town would come through.
Dang, man.
And so like people would hit me up like, oh, I'm playing the Palladium. I'm playing the Fonda, which was both really close. Right. They would just walk over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And or if they were playing the Bowl or wherever, it was just everyone ended up in my drum shed, my cave.
That's so killing that you had that. Yeah. I mean, we would do some of that, you know, out here at Nissan's church, really, when we did a lot of the sheds.
Man.
A lot of legendary sheds at Nissan's church.
Man.
But that, I mean, that's how me and Aaron got cool.
Man,
shedding at his house.
Yeah, dude. I used to love shedding with Aaron.
Like,
Aaron was one of the only drummers that I looked up to at that level that I actually enjoyed playing with him.
Yeah.
Because he would also educate me while we were playing. Yep. He would stop and be like, what was that? And then he would break it down.
Yeah.
Where then when I'm playing with like, if I'm shedding, when I would with like Ronald Bruner or Devin, or
you're
I'm
just going.
Like,
he's just like, ah!
Yeah. And I'm also just like, I need to stop.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I can't do
you
that.
You went to another realm and I don't. Yeah.
You sped up time.
Yeah.
In general,
yeah,
the time vortex that we live in.
I'm not on that. I'm not on that plane.
Yeah, man,
that's amazing, bro.
But I wish we met back then. But I mean, I knew of you. I was a fan. I was watching all your shit, man, and being inspired. But
I'm glad we here now.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, for real.
And yeah, man. So yeah, I just want to also take the moment to give our love to Aaron, of course. Dude.
Oh man, yeah. He, of course, one of a kind. Like, we all have the same testimony, you know, about just who he was as a human being, you know, to be a force on the drums and a force as just a human being.
Yeah.
And his character off the drums is unusual.
Yeah.
You know, so he was definitely one of a kind. Definitely feel like, you know, God allowed us to have to see Aaron and experience him. So we have a really high bar to, you know, yeah, you can play like he's the greatest drummer alive, but the greatest human too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. We got a long way to go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's the bar.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, God.
We should all reach for it.
Yeah.
Continually. I think about Aaron all the time. Still,
oh yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is me and Kaz was hanging out yesterday.
Yeah.
He was like, man, Aaron told me you have to lock in with Teddy. You have to lock in with, you have to call Teddy. You have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So now me and Kaz are hanging, you
I
know
love
what I mean?
It, dude.
You know,
he's such a good guy.
He's
too.
A good guy, bro. But that was like, you know, him and Aaron, we know that relationship, you know what I mean? So just for even, you know, him to tell him that you need to talk to me.
Yeah.
It says a lot about what Aaron thought of me.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's just, that's huge.
Yeah, man. He loved you.
It's huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's huge.
He was the best, dude.
He was the best dude.
And another testament to how much he loved you. So for Aaron, before Aaron passed away, he wrote out his funeral, right? Didn't he like wrote out like, hey, this is what I would want my funeral to be. And you were in his
request.
You
gotta say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you spoke at the funeral.
Well, you know, they had to shorten the programs like a lot.
Yeah.
So they thought the best thing would be to have videos.
Yeah.
You know,
so
all the people he requested, you know, most of the people he requested, put them in a video and then just let these few people talk at the funeral.
Yep.
So I was a part of a video. And even the video obituary Aaron came up with, I'd never seen. I'm watching it like, man, this, I ain't never seen that, man. What? This is crazy. They was like, oh yeah, that was Aaron's idea too. I'm like, come on, man.
What a guy.
Like, for real, bro? Never been done before. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I hope reincarnation exists, because I want Aaron back.
Look, bro, it just lets you know that there, like I said, there's a bar that we all have to reach for.
Yeah.
And another thing about, you know, Aaron's death is, you know, I just look at it through a different lens. It's like, man, you know, God can, he's a giver of life. He takes it away. It's like, so I'm going to take it away, but I took it away for a purpose. Like, he was ready to come. He's ready to be with me. Y'all ain't ready yet.
Yeah.
So I need y'all to look at this man's life and say, okay, this, is this what getting ready or being ready looks like?
Wow.
Okay, now I need that. I need to aspire to that. And that, to me, gave me peace with him leaving.
Wow, that's beautiful, man.
It's like, okay, all right, you got.
I love that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
That's a great.
That's what helped me.
It's a great perspective.
What helped me.
Very healthy perspective, and like makes so much sense.
What helped me. Yeah. Yeah.
It also proves to me that I'm not ready.
Yeah, man. Like, for real.
I'm on my journey still. I want to get to that, though.
We're on the road, but you ain't ready yet.
I'll never forget how Aaron made me feel. Like, even like, he made me feel like I was such a better drummer than I was. Like, he made me feel like, dude, there was literally 20 people on Jam Card when he got on, and he was like, this is the thing, man. This is, I'm so proud of you for doing this and even bringing it to here. This is so great. And I knew it wasn't great then. It was a broken prototype.
No, it was great, because you know? You have to understand too, man, Aaron was doing this in his basement.
Yeah.
You took it to another level.
Yeah.
So he knew what it was. He saw it. Yeah. He was doing it.
Yeah.
So here comes somebody that's going to take it to, oh my God, of course it's... Being a great guy that he is, he's going to tell you, like, yeah, this is going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, and not tell you that, yeah, I've been doing this in my basement. It's like, and it wasn't even about him.
Yeah, and never.
But he saw what you were doing, because, you know, he knew what it was. He was doing it too at the level he was doing it. You know.
Man, well, much love, Aaron Spears.
Come on, man.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All
bro.
Day forever.
Yeah.
Okay, so, so you've played with Stevie Wonder live and on record, and you did the A Time to Love album, right?
Yeah.
And which was the last Stevie Wonder album.
That's his last record.
His last, like, live, or not live, in studio record.
Yeah.
How was that, man?
Crazy, because, you know, I played with him a few times before, so I got to be around him, and one time he sat on the drums and played something for me, and I was like, whoa, okay. So
craziest feel.
I had experienced that.
Yeah.
But being in the studio with him was different, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he showed up when he wanted to, you know what I mean? He came and played what he wanted to play. He got on his drums and played his little thing. He was just random all over the place.
Yeah.
Just classic Stevie, just doing whatever, you know. It's like no concept of time. He's blind.
Yeah.
It's
like it's just living,
it's the same,
just existing.
Time every day for me. It's like, I am Groundhog Day. It's like, and I'm Stevie Wonder. So I'm coming to the studio when I get there.
Yeah.
So, you know, so like all of that, man, was great. I'm just sitting in the studio, been there all day. And he comes at 3 a.m.
Oh, shit.
And you come at 3 a.m. rested up.
Yeah.
Like it's 3 p.m.
Because you would get there at a call time. Who was producing it, or who was running the show?
He was.
So you're like getting a text that's like, show up at noon, 2, or show up at 3 a.m.
Stevie would call me. Yeah, like, still to this day, that's my homeboy. Like, I got Stevie to sing on my wife's solo record.
So cool.
You know what I mean? He bought studio equipment to go on tour so that he could record his part on tour and never recorded it. So, like, I'm mixing the record. And I'm like, Steve, I need you to be here if you're going to do it. Just tell me no if you're not going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for you. No. You've been saying that for 6 months.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Yeah.
I would, please say no.
Please.
He's like, no, I'm coming. I'm just getting off tour. I'm getting off the road. I'm getting off the plane. And I'm coming over there. I'm coming tonight. I said, all right, man. Again, mixing the record, waiting on Steve. No phone call, no call. Where you at? Texting him, nothing. He comes. Finally said, all right, I'm on my way. 4 a.m. He comes in, kills the song.
Kills it.
And then said, what else you want me to do? I said, well, since you're here, man, play some harmonica. Okay. Grab the mic. I mean, you know, so like, he's a friend, you know, and but just getting to know him, man, is like, it's Stevie Wonder, bro. So just because it's Stevie, he's one of a kind, of course. But getting to know him and just seeing how he flows and, you know, how, what he's like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, man, this is weird, but it's cool. Like,
you know what is he like?
He lives in his own world, bro. Yeah. Like, you know, he'll be sitting in the studio. He'll fall asleep, take his glasses off. So you see his eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, he's just Steve.
Yeah.
You know, walking around the studio with nobody leading him, running into stuff or not running and knowing where to go. You know.
He's got to memorize.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like just watching that, right? Then, like I said, you know, watch him get on the drums and just work out a part, you know, just do his Stevie thing. Like that pocket is crazy. Like ain't nobody got that. That's nobody sounds like that.
Nobody.
No, you know, and never will.
Yeah.
And only Stanley Randolph. It's like, come on, man. How can you even do this?
He has done it.
How can you do this, bro?
Because Stanley gets into full Stevie character.
He does.
When he does it.
Yeah, it works.
Works.
And then some hybrid stuff he got going on. I'm like, man, how you throw that in there?
Yeah, and you're the percussionist too, apparently.
What in the world, bro? I don't ever want to play any Stevie Wonder song again.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to do it. I'm like, man, when I'm playing with Steve, like, I'm like, all I hear is Stanley now.
Yeah.
But I did the gig before Stanley.
Yeah. He has owned it. He has owned it.
I'm like, nah, bro. Yeah. Like, nah, man.
What else about Stevie? What about Stevie out, like, not in the recording context? life context.
I don't know, man. Like, you know, he's a special guy. So like, you know, me and my wife, we hit a hard bump in the road, you know, and you know, we had this reality show on WE TV and our life lived out on the reality show. I got caught up cheating infidelity.
Crazy.
And my wife found out about it. Our show was the first unscripted reality show on TV.
Wow.
It was the first Christian gospel show.
Wow.
But the first unscripted show. So like literally when we were living our life, it was happening.
Yeah.
And so we went through that crazy phase and, you know, thank God we came out. But Stevie would like, he would touch me and be like, I'm worried about you. I feel, he knew. He was saying all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just by touching me.
Super intuitive.
Yeah. So like that freaked me out. I was like, what? He did it a few times, and then, you know, then I get a random call, like still like on a voicemail in my house, you know, I'm just checking on you. You know,
that's great.
So like that's the Steve I love. That's Steve I know.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, of course everybody, you know, listen to Stevie Wonder, grew up listening to it, or some kind of way Stevie's music, you know, impacted you. But for me it was Stevie.
Yeah,
he impacted me.
Oh yeah.
And that's crazy, because I never thought crazy. I would play with him. Like, I mean, you know, I was a church boy just trying to come to LA and do it big.
Play with him and have a relationship with him. So speaking of crazy characters altogether, so on that album, the song So What's the Fuss?
Hi, Steve, what is this?
With Prince and In Vogue. What was that session like?
I played my part, and I don't know when that happened.
Oh, really?
Like, I wasn't in the studio when that happened. I was like, what in the world? I'm on a song with Prince? Yeah, I wasn't a part of that. There's a few records. Like, so I did this thing, and Paul Lime reminds me of this because he played on the original. It was an Elvis record.
Mm.
And it was Elvis and Barbara Streisand. And I don't know. I forget the song. And they got Elvis's vocal. Barbara came in, did her thing, and I'm playing. But of course, Elvis is not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that was that, and there was a couple others. Like, you know, like I did what I did, and they weren't there, and I just end up hearing like, what?
Yeah.
I just played drums on this track, and this is what it is. Crazy, like so. Yeah.
That's a little happy ending. Nice little just. Grows into itself and ends up being like, oh, a new credit.
Yeah, like, whoa, okay.
Oh.
I'm on a song with Prince.
That's like what's crazy about, like, we know we have a bunch of sample packs with Jam Card. So I have two myself as a drummer. So like, you know, people can just use my beats.
Yeah.
Right. And then on top of that, we've made so many with Jam Card. So now, like, because of that, these source files or whatever, my drums or someone else's, I mean, we've done it with a lot of people. It's everywhere. It's on Super Bowl commercials and stuff, and it's crazy because we just hear the impact of these sample packs all over the place. We're like, oh wow.
Wow.
Not getting royalties, but
hey man, you got stuff out there. You can say, that's me. You could credit yourself.
Yeah, hey, that's me, man.
Yes, hey.
Can I borrow some money?
That means a lot. That's going to get you to the money.
Okay, so the money, we are fluid with the money, Teddy. The money comes.
It's coming.
It goes, it comes, yeah. It goes. Yeah, we are fluid with it.
Yeah, there we go.
Everything is great.
Yeah.
So ChatGPT says that Teddy is known for his tight, precise drumming with an ability to lock into grooves and rhythms that support the artist while standing out when needed.
Hmm.
That's the AI's description of you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Say that again, bro.
The robots know who you are. ChatGPT asked ChatGPT to describe you to me.
Okay. So help the old guy out.
Okay. Have you heard of artificial intelligence?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard of ChatGPT?
No.
Okay. So ChatGPT is the biggest AI platform that's being used by the most people right now. It's making billions,
really?
It's making billions of dollars a year. It is, imagine Google, but you can just ask it a question and it just gives you the answer.
Hmm.
Right? So you can ask it like, who is Teddy Campbell or who has Teddy Campbell played with? Or you could say, make a chart of all the songs that Teddy Campbell played on.
What? Yeah. Come on.
For real. You can do anything with it. You can also give it complex equations.
Siri overload.
Bro, if you saw, it's Siri times a bajillion, bro. If you saw just even like, I'll pull it up right now, like my last chat thing. So I have a whole thing. I'm talking with AI about you. Having full conversation. Yeah, I'm having it work on like how to grow IQ and test IQ better. I was asking it about I have it help make budgets for me.
Wow.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff, dude. Yeah, interest home. Like I was like, hey, how much is a house in this city at this time if we bought it right now with this much down? Gives you all the equations of everything immediately. Like it's, yeah. So ChatGPT, you're going to use it tonight when you leave here. And if any of our listeners have not used ChatGPT, use it immediately. I know you, if you're a normal listener, you probably are already because I talk about AI.
Yeah, it's what you do. Yeah.
Arguably too much because, and a big thing, I also always repeat with Terrace Martin and I, as we talk every morning and our whole thing is pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Don't let that shit just pass you by because you're going to get passed by.
You're going to get passed by.
Use the shit.
I got you, bro.
Like, bro, I asked it all about you, bro. It knows
and everything. What did it say?
It knows everything about you. So, yeah. So, it said, Teddy is known for his tight, precise drumming with an ability to lock into grooves and rhythms that support the artist while standing out when needed.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't like that?
How do you know that about me?
Here, do you want to see how it all started? This is how it all started.
That's true, but how do you know me?
Here we go. I started out being like, yo, what's up? I'm having, cause I talk to it like it's my friend. I talk to it 100 times a day.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up? I'm having Teddy Campbell on my podcast. Will you tell me a bit about him? I wanted to see what it said. It said, you're a renowned drummer known for your versatility and contributions across a variety of musical genres. You've performed in many high profile settings and are widely respected in the music industry. Here's some key highlights about Teddy Campbell, his TV work. Campbell gained significant recognition as the house drummer for American Idol and then for Tonight Show with Jay Leno Band, which brought him even more visibility. He's played with major artists like Stevie Wonder, Christina Aguilera, Kelly Clarkson, Queen Latifah, and Rod Stewart. His ability to adapt to different styles make him go-to drummer for live tours and televised events. His gospel roots. Campbell's early background in gospel music has had a lasting impact on his drumming style. He's part of the gospel group The Soul Seekers and has performed at various church events, maintaining deep ties to his faith. I can keep going, bro. I know everything.
You know everything.
He knows your wife, bro.
Knows everything about how much he's worth. What did he make in 2012?
Yeah. And then I said, who's more rich, me or Teddy?
Yeah, tell me that.
Yeah, yeah. Who lies more? No.
Start going deep into it.
Can you tell me negative things? No, I'm just kidding. You probably could do that, but I'm not going to. And that's not me. I'm an optimist. I'm a happy guy, guys.
It can tell you this, though.
Anyways. Okay, so ChatGPT is incredible. And it's
pretty incredible,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, and if you... Yeah, and you can use it for a lot of things. You could write it. You could use it for help with lyrics. You know, you could even give it ideas. You can have do whatever you want to do.
That's crazy.
So anyways, it knew that about you. So my point for it saying about your tight, precise drumming.
Crazy.
That you lock into grooves and rhythms and support artists. and you stand out when needed. So to cut to your great Instagram content that you've been making.
Thank you.
The post of you and D-Nice, you're drumming with D-Nice, and you were sitting in the pocket, and you were making everybody dance. And he's like, come on, Teddy, like, yeah, give us some. Yeah, and then you just kept playing the pocket.
Yeah. Okay, right. So...
I like that, because people were dancing. You have an audience that's there to dance. It's not a drum shed. It's not Modern Drummer Festival.
So, Buddy Strong, keyboard player of Usher. But now he's with Dave Matthews Band.
Nice.
Buddy commented and said, I actually pinned his comment. He said, the song is called Less Dance, not Less Sit Back and Watch Teddy Shed. And that's the truth. So, yeah. So like that whole performance, yeah. This was actually it comes on. Well, I can't say that now. I don't know when you're going to air this, but it actually comes on today, October 1st today.
Oh, well, so you can. It'll be out.
Yeah. So it came on PBS. But it's a President Jimmy Carter 100 birthday celebration.
Yeah.
Now, D-Nice, of course, was on the show, but for some reason, Ricky didn't know that D-Nice wanted the band to play with him. He didn't just want to be out there DJing by himself because he travels with a band.
Yeah.
So he gets to the run through, which is 2 hours before the show.
Yeah.
And that's his sound check. You know, it was actually the camera block. Yeah. You know? And so he gets there and they're like, Ricky's like, hey, man, I need you to play with D-Nice. I'm like, okay. What is he doing? I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I get up there, he's playing hits. So like I'm like trying to figure my way through, like I'm hearing the songs. Of course I know the songs, thank God, but like, you know, it's happening in the moment. So we do our run through. That kind of got me a little, you know, used to, you know, acclimated to what was gonna happen, you know, a couple hours later on the show. And so we do it, and a nice amount of it is different. The songs are longer, you know, and I'm like, I didn't know you were going to the bridge on that one. You know what I mean? Like, so I didn't know he was going to say, Teddy, man, take it. So I'm in the middle of locking this groove. I don't think you're about to tell me to get some on Let's Dance. You know, but he's like, come on, man, come on. So I'm like, yeah, the people are dancing and have a good time. The whole audience is up. I cannot do a record scratch drum solo. So I'm like, let me just keep it going. Let me just keep it moving.
That's also not the ideal tempo. Let's dance.
Yeah.
It's not the ideal like shedding tempo.
No, if you're a church boy, it don't matter.
Any tempo is.
Any. Let's dance. I mean, you can do all that. It's crazy.
Oh,
we
can, shit.
Yeah, no, that's... any tempo.
See, I was a metal kid, so I would have just done double kick the whole time, just hands up.
You know, you could just go crazy.
That would have worked. Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can tell.
I mean, so after that, I was like, yeah, I probably would have played a little bit more if I knew it was coming. But you know, it still would have been in the pocket. You know.
another funny post from your Instagram is you recently playing with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And then what happened? The sound just goes out?
No, so like this was a pre-record. So it wasn't live.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was live to tape,
right,
when we say in TV. It wasn't live to air. So there was just like a issue, like maybe a teleprompter or like a, you know, audio issue.
Yeah.
Like we're in the middle of the song. I'm ready to get off. Come on, let's dance. You know what I mean? So here comes the director walking out like she's walking slow. Like, I hate to do this because this was a moment and I got to stop you. So, yeah, it was like, that's what happened. And that was my first like real big TikTok post.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, really?
Like it got like a million, you know.
That's
like
awesome.
Almost 2 million, you know.
So I'm that's
like,
so great.
Everybody's like, and then old man over here. People are like, we need a story time. I don't know what the heck story time is. So I'm looking at my daughter. I'm telling my daughter, I say, baby, look at this. I put this on TikTok. Look at this. It's going crazy. Look at all these people. Look. What? She's like, Dad, they want a story time. I'm like, what does that mean? She's like, you got to tell them what happened. Why did this happen? And you can just press this button and you don't even have TikTok. How do you know? So like, yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't actually have TikTok.
I don't have TikTok.
Yeah. What is that?
Definitely got TikTok.
Is that a food?
Yeah, Tic Tacs. Yeah. I don't eat.
She like gives you, and all of a sudden it's like you on a green screen. It's just you, and then your video's behind you, and you're talking to it, and you're like, "What? How do
yeah,
I?
Like,
how do I get here?"
Story time. Yeah, Dad, just press this. Okay.
You're four. How do you?
Nah, man. So like that was funny. Yeah. That was a funny post.
But, people yeah. love the things gone wrong.
Yeah.
It was also an epic moment up until then.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. Oh my.
Yeah.
Everybody was all along for that ride. I'm looking at the comments. They were like, what happened? Like, oh my God. Like, and when I was recording it, I was getting ready to delete it. I was like, oh no, this is not the tape.
Oh yeah, we fucked up. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to delete it. Man, something was like, don't you do that.
Yeah, that's the one. They're like, don't you want to go viral? You said you need to be on the mountain again, the top of it.
The little viral angel is like, this is your shot.
Yeah. the viral angel's like, or no, the angel is like, you should delete it. And then the viral angel's like, no, keep it. It's actually the viral devil.
I'm going to give you everything. Yeah, do you want pain? Do you want thousands of comments? Keep this one.
It doesn't actually make money, but do you want it?
Yeah. It doesn't. Just makes my head bigger.
I'd love to talk about some personal, your personal relationship. So please. You have a wonderful wife, Tina, of Mary Mary.
Yes, sir.
Which is, which to me, I have never been able to successfully have a relationship with someone else in entertainment.
It's hard work, bro.
You have done it for a many years.
Yeah,
so.
I'm 24 years married.
Wow. And how do you balance touring, live, home, communication?
It's not easy, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, my wife she over communicates and I under communicate. And so that communication is a huge issue for us. We're still walking through that. 24 years, man. We're still walking through that. And I think when you're given opportunities to, you know, look at the past and say, all right, we did this and reevaluate and come and say, all right, man, we're going to try something new, you know, new ways.
Yeah.
And that's where we are, man. We've evolved and we got to try some new ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we need some new tools.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we went through a crazy season, man. Like that infidelity season was bad, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and finding out on TV, and of course, you know, there's two sides to every story, but you know, this was betrayal on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's like that's piled on to what you did.
It makes it even worse.
It's like, yo, man, you did this in front of this 1.5 million people watching that year, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so like that's tough. And then, you know, her being literally, you know, one of the greatest gospel groups ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what they did for gospel music hasn't been done since.
Yeah.
You know, and so like that's a weight for her too, you know, to be the face of the change of gospel music.
Yeah.
So of course she struggles. She has her own weight to carry with being, you know, a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, being married 24 years, man, and having to navigate all of these different things that are just, you know, a lot of people, you wouldn't know about the random, you know, Joe Blow's life because he's not on TV. He's not, you know, he's just going through life just like everybody else, trying to, you know, have a successful marriage, be a good father, be a good wife, be a good mother, you know, son, blah, 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 blah. But because we're celebrities, you know, I tell my wife, I was like, no, you celebrity. She's like, no, you famous. You was on TV before me. And I'm like, but I'm a drummer. It's a different. I was like, no, you got, you know.
She's like, you're a drummer, singer, musical director.
Well, a drummer celebrity.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what I mean?
Are,
like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm trying to dumb it down. Like, no, I'm just a, you know. And you got to stop giving everybody your phone number. Like, you're not, I'm like, I play drums. I'm going to give this dude my number. She's like, you got to stop doing it. I'm like, no, I don't. It's like, yes, you do. You're famous. I'm like, you're famous. Like, we're fighting about who's famous. Like, shut up. You're both famous. You know, so, yeah, man, so it's tough, you know, but again, faith, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not me. I've done so much to tear this whole thing up. You know, of course, she has her own testimonies of, you know, what she's done, you know, but we're still together because God wanted us to be together. And we have faith in him that he's going to hold us through. And walking through that, man, is making us more faith-filled.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know what I mean? And that's really what it's about.
Higher power, man. Yeah,
growing through this thing together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's essentially what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's tough,
man.
But... you know, I got 5 kids,
wow.
2 grandkids.
It's amazing. You got 2 grandkids?
Man, I got a 6-year-old grandson and a 1-year-old granddaughter.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My oldest daughter's 30.
Wow.
And I got a 21-year-old daughter, and I got a 17-year-old daughter, and I got a 15-year-old son, and I got a 12-year-old son. So, you know, that's a lot, man. You know, to be in this industry and have to raise kids, you know, on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, big work, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's beautiful, though. Yeah. That's everything. That's the meaning of life, man.
It really is, man. Yeah. You know, and I don't deserve the family I have. I didn't have, I'm the only child. I wasn't raised with my dad. So, like, to be this family man, that shouldn't be my life. But it is.
Yeah.
And it's my life because it adds to my life.
Yeah.
I'm grateful, man.
And it keeps going in terms of your family. So, Warren Campbell.
Yeah.
Is your brother-in-law?
Crazy story. Yeah, we're not related. Yeah. I'm sure we are, you know, going down the line, you know what I mean, going down that rabbit hole. I'm sure we are. Ain't that many black Campbells, you know what I mean? I think all us black Campbells are related. Got to be.
Everyone.
Mr. Campbell from Ireland. Just, you know, we're all his, you know. So anyway, yeah, man, when I met my wife, we were not even dating at the time. I was just liking her. And her sister, Erica, they were both on tour with this play that I was doing.
Yeah.
I was doing this play. We came to L.A. They auditioned for the play. Immediately got hired on the spot. And so they get on the road. And I'm looking at Tina like, nah, I'm going to get her. I like her, you know. And so we end up going to Milwaukee. We're in Milwaukee to do a show, like a week of shows. And we're staying at this hotel. And Warren pulls up on a tour bus. It's a Boys to Men Babyface Brandy tour. Yes. Warren Campbell is playing for Brandy.
Nice.
So he gets off the bus and I walk right up to him. Now, I don't know him. I just walk right up to him. It's like, hey, man, who you here with? You know, he's like, I'm here with Brandy. I was like, oh, hey, cool. I'm here with this play. We just start talking like musicians do.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, what's your name? He's like, Warren Campbell. Well, I'm Teddy Campbell. You know, so he's like, oh, all right, cool, man. I was like, I said, man, I'm about to go to the mall, man. I got to get a black shirt. Man, I'm about to go to the mall. I got to get it. You know, so we walked to the mall together. So from there, we hit it off. Best friends. But while we're in the lobby talking, Tina and Erica walks by. And him and his best friend at the time is in the lobby. And they see them. And Warren's like, hey, man, who is that? And I'm like, don't worry about them. Like, you know, I don't know which one.
Which one?
Yeah. So fast forward, they get off the tour, go back home to L.A. And Warren, I told him, I said, yeah, man, they from L.A. He said, man, I don't even know them. Yeah, he was like, all right, yeah, they church girls from L.A. He's like, oh, cool. So they go back to L.A. Now, because of the play, they want to start writing songs together and singing a little bit more because they was just church girls.
Yeah.
You know, and so so some kind of way they got signed to EMI, Big John Platt, who signed Beyonce. Everybody's Big John.
Big John.
Everybody
know
Big John. Big John signs them. And he had already signed Warren. Warren was already one of his producers. Big John says to Warren, I got these two girls, man. I want y'all to hook up. I want to hook up with you. They write songs. They gospel. And you do gospel. He's like, you know, you from a church. Like, you know, hook up with them and write some songs. Cool. So Warren hooks up with Tina and Erica. He doesn't really remember that Erica is the one that he saw on the play until later on in their time of working together. They start talking and, you know, me and Tina full-blown dating at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so now Warren and Erica is starting to date. Warren, as he's working with them, names them. He's like, man, y'all ever thought about being a group? They was like, no. He was like, man, y'all should be a group. I'm going to name y'all right now. Mary Mary. That's a dope name. My wife was like, first of all, that's dumb. I'm Tina. She Erica. So they had to figure out what Mary Mary means before they, I mean, then they locked into the idea, start writing songs. Then the rest is history.
Wow.
We get married first. They get married a year later.
Wow.
Our sons are the exact same age as me and Warren are.
Wow.
Like 4 months apart.
Wow.
To the date.
That's crazy.
They're sons. My son and his son.
That's amazing, man.
So yeah, it's just like, that's all right, this is meant to be.
Like, that's yes. So cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is awesome.
Yeah, man, that's really amazing.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
To be able to have like a brother-in-law that's like your best friend that is also a Black Campbell. Yeah. It's really great.
Like we're strangers until one day they meet and they become best friends for
instantly.
Life. And married two sisters.
That's
now
so
they have the same last name again. By two strangers.
Will they change their last name? Of course not.
No, of course not. It's Campbell all the way.
They're doubling down on Campbell.
They want it. Tina Atkins? No. Erica Atkins? No. Tina Campbell. Erica Campbell.
Even better.
Yeah.
Mary.
The Campbell girl.
And they all go on to become legends. Newsflash, they're all famous.
They're all famous.
All four of them.
Even the little drummer from church.
He's a famous drummer. That
no,
counts.
You're famous, baby. No, you're famous.
Once you're over the bar of fame, it's all just fame.
It's all just fame. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to learn how to fly.
I've been seeing you always, had like the Roland head next to you or whatever. Like I feel like you have adapted technology really well with drumming.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, you're going through your next phase right now and everything.
Yeah.
So like, where do you think live drumming is going?
It's interesting. So like everything always full circles, it goes back to where, you know, like, you know, now, man, like people over in different parts of the country are listening to cassette tapes.
Yeah.
I never thought a cassette tape would come back. I'm like, what's VHS is next? That can't be true. You know, so I feel like everything is full circle. It all comes back to, you know, a point where it was just so much simpler.
Yeah.
Right. With that said, my homeboy Rex, my little brother Rex, Rex L. Hardy, Rex said, man, I'm glad you're posting because I wanted people to know the Teddy I know.
Nice.
Right? He's like, man, so I needed you to start posting.
Yeah.
Because I could tell people like, man, this is my big bros, mentor, whatever. And I could tell them, but it's kind of like the younger dudes is like, well, okay, but we don't know, you know? So I feel like I am a part of introducing a more organic side of drumming, a more simpler side of drumming that has gotten lost. Mm. And just not to say my way is the better way. It's just a different way.
Yeah.
And it was a way before the new way.
Yeah.
You know, so however you want to process that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's up to you.
Sure.
But there is a way that was right when it was right.
Yeah.
You know, so do we forsake that way altogether? I don't think so. I don't think anything works that way. You know what I mean? We all come back to that time, you know? And so I feel like I'm a part of that time. So I think drumming is going back to a place that's a little bit more simpler than it was. And it'll, you know, it'll speed up again and we'll be doing something else. We're playing drums in the sky. I don't know. But I think it's got to come back to that real organic kind of a little simpler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I think, man. And like we were talking before, that's a part of my next, like, you know, when I feel like I hit the ceiling at 38, 39 years old playing with the Tonight Show in L.A., it's like, man, that can't be the ceiling. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just 38, you know, and this is L.A. You know, L.A. is endless. You can do whatever you want here. Yeah. And so I felt like I was like, man, you're full. You feel like you hit the limit. You're full because it's time to pour.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for you to pour out now. You got so much. It's time for you to pour out now. And so I know that I have influence here in L.A., but man, I'm from Chicago.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I know I got influence there. So I've been home a lot. I'm getting ready to start doing this Monday night thing there. This jam like they have here in L.A. at Gold Diggers, like Alex Wasili does. Just all improv. We just making it up. Putting different bands together. Just make it up. Don't play no covers. If you want to sing something, make it up or sing your own stuff.
Yeah.
But so that's a part of me pouring out. Another part is the book. I've just finished the book. called Seven Steps from the Church to the Oscars.
I love it.
And I want to turn that into a curriculum, right?
So great.
So like, these are all things that I'm doing to pour out and to kind of give the drummers and musicians, not just drummers, but musicians in general, a peek into what it was like going from that point to this point, to know that you have to, if you really want to be good at what you do, you have to go from point A to point B.
Yep.
You can't just show up on Instagram and be killing for the rest of your life.
Yep.
It's just, that's just not how life works. So I want people to understand, no, there's a process. You could chop your way to the top, but you're going to chop your way to the top real fast, and then you're going to drop just as fast.
Yep.
And you don't want to do that. You want to go gradually up to the top, so that you have all of these different things in your tool belt. You can pull out this one, you can pull out that one, you can pull out that. But if you just come on the scene, bam, you can't stay at the top the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not the way life goes.
Absolutely.
So, I feel like there's a gap in even the younger generation. And I feel like I'm a part of filling that gap in. And what that gap is, you know, maybe simply put, is just, you know, going back to a time where things were a little bit more simpler.
Yeah.
That's all.
I love it, dude.
Yeah.
Final question. What do you want to be remembered for?
Man. You know, again, man, we talk about one of the greatest humans, drummers that ever existed, Aaron, and the impact that he had on people. Just by his life, his drumming was larger than life, but his life was even larger. I want everyone. I want my family. I want people that know me for what I do as a drummer. I want people to know that I cared about them. And even though I didn't do everything right, I really love people. I love my family, and I really do love people. And I want people to experience the greatest joys in life. I want people to know God. I want people to love their family. I want people to live pure lives, man, and treat each other right, love each other, man, and just really just do good. You know what I mean? So you don't have to really be hiding behind the bad stuff that you do. You can live a free life. It's a freedom in just living a clean life, man. Just loving people. You know what I mean? So I want people to know, man, Teddy actually cared, man. He cared. He tried because he cared. He cared about his family. He cared about his wife. He cared about his kids. He cared about us. He cares about musicians. He cares about people. And he's trying to do something that shows that he cares, but he's trying to leave something that's greater than himself. That's what I want to be known for.
That's beautiful, dude. I can tell that you care.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming here and spending time with me, bro. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Because you're already at the top of the mountain, bro. You're sitting there. Teddy Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
Go with Domo. This is the stuff, man.